This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be visiting with David Nock. David's the Chief Executive Officer of DocuPace. He's going to tell us what DocuPace is, how he got involved in it, how strategy and competition is evolving in the market that they're in, and a lot more. David, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about DocuPace?
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott. And first, thanks for having me here today. It's exciting to be in a conversation with you. I'll give you a little bit about DocuPace. Our business works with mid and large brands that you'd likely know in the wealth management space, financial services space, and insurance space to digitize and automate their back offices. So we help them onboard new customers, move documents and data through workflows in their back office, integrate them with electronic signatures, their business partners, and then ultimately leave all those documents and data at rest in a regulatorily compliant document storage facility. So it's an exciting business for us. It's one that's pretty critical, and we can talk about this a little bit, to sort of fulfilling the promise of wealth management. We like to think of ourselves as turning financial planning into financial planning well executed.
And talk for a moment about your target customer. Is your typical target customer more the smaller wealth management office, or is it the large players? Who's your typical target customer? You've had this, obviously, this constant one explosion of wealth managers. There's more and more an ability for the wealth managers to work relatively independently because of tools like yours. But then there's also an aggregation of places like the BlackRocks of the world and the Merrill Lynch's of the world and so forth. Who is your target that you guys work with?
Yeah, so our target customer is typically the enterprise that services financial advisors. So in our world, it's a broker-dealer, a registered investment advisor, an insurance agency or manufacturer, typically one that might have 100 to many thousand financial advisors in their system, both as independent contractors, which is where most of our clients are, or as W-2 employees of the firm. It's not to say we don't serve across the entire spectrum. We do have plenty of sole practitioner financial advisors who are clients of DocuPace, but our core customers really are the large wealth management enterprises that are working with hundreds or thousands of financial advisors.
Fantastic. And how did you get into this space? And how is strategy and competition? There's obviously people that are providing back office services, software service to wealth managers. What does competition and strategy look like in your market? And how did you get started in this?
Yeah, so I got started in this business actually as a DocuPace customer. So I spent a decade running one of these, thousand financial advisor wealth management practices. And DocuPace was a key business partner of ours in digitizing and automating our back office and really creating, sort of this beautiful, sustainable client experience for our financial advisors and for theirs. So I made a transition from being a client of the firm to running the firm because I know what the possibilities are here in DocuPace. I've seen it from the customer perspective, and I want more people to have experiences like mine. So that's how I kind of found my way to this business. And it is a useful perspective in running the business to have spent 10 years on the customer side. Strategy and competition, to answer that part of it. I mean, first, in the wealth management space right now, there's a pretty big shift occurring from investment in the front office, think financial advisor and client experience, right? Dashboards, financial planning tools, model management capabilities, automatic rebalancing software. I mean, there's a very big proliferation of capability in the front office focused on financial advisor and client experience. What's been historically underinvested in the space is the back office experience, right? How all of that technology comes together in an integrated experience that sort of fulfills the promise of what happens in the front office. And that's the piece, unfortunately, behind all of this beautiful front office technology, a lot of times are manual processes, data being manually moved between systems. And it ends up with a fractured experience, right? You spell a client's name wrong. Something takes too long to set up. There's errors in the account opening process. Work just takes too long to process. And it drives client dissatisfaction. So there's a big shift occurring there. I think sort of simultaneously with that, I think in 2022, we're going to cross over this threshold in the financial services industry where spending on external technology actually exceeds spending on internal technology, right? Historically, particularly for these larger wealth management enterprises, it was a build it strategy, not a lease it or integrate with it strategy. It was definitely very much a build it strategy. And that's changing, right? People are sunsetting legacy internal technology platforms that are laden with all of this technology debt, and they're going to expert outsource providers. Most of our new customer acquisition is doing just that. It's sunsetting an internally built system in favor of sort of a really modernized, robust, capable platform that somebody else is operating for them. I talk a lot more about some of the shifts, but those are some of the major ones that are happening today, which at a very macro level are informing how we look at our business.
And talk about, you're growing the business. Has the business taken in outside private equity capital or outside funding or self-funded? And then two, what are the big priorities this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So from a capital standpoint, so we have brought in outside capital. I'm the guy that came with the outside capital. So it's definitely been part of the journey of the business. We'll celebrate our 20th anniversary next year. So the business has been around for quite some time. External capital has been part of the company's history for less than half of its life. And it's been pretty important to growth. I mean, I will say from a capital standpoint, not all capital is created equal. I'm sure you and your listeners know that. But I think that's a pretty major distinction, right? So I think you can make different arguments for distributed capital, right? The lots of small shareholders on your cap table versus concentrated capital. I tend to think concentrated capital tends to work a lot better for the business owner, especially as that business owner wants to sort of monetize the business. It's a lot easier to have a smaller cap table than a very large cap table. And of course, there's a minority versus majority investment component. In our case, we've got a majority investor at this point. And then finally, I think the one that's probably most critical for us is this idea of what I would describe as capital versus capital plus. And what I mean by capital plus is your capital provider actually gives you the ability to grow your business, right? They become a strategic partner for you, as opposed to merely capital, right? This is the idea of alignment with your investor or investors rather than merely seeing them as capital providers. And frankly, that can be pretty accelerating for a mid-sized business like ours to have somebody who's really got expertise, contact, beyond just the ability to provide capital. It's nice to be part of a community rather than on our own. And that's probably the biggest part I would say for having outside capital in the business. Now, again, I'm biased. I came in along with
it. Yeah, but take a moment. You had started with this discussion of, a seriously concentrated investor where you have a serious fund, maybe a couple co-leads, but really a serious fund who's really vested in your business versus almost like a distributed capital network. Lots and lots of people investing 100 to 500,000. No one who's really that vested in it. The pros and cons of it are sometimes, you don't have to manage lots of shareholders. It's a pleasure. The flip side is, none of your shareholders have too much control. And so there's right. Pluses and minuses. But you get into a more sophisticated environment, you're more and more looking less at this distributed capital model until you maybe go public. Then you're back to distributed capital model.
Yep. Exactly.
Any further? Yeah, it's fascinating, really. And what do you view as, your CEO again running this company? What are your big priorities this year for the company? What do you view as the core priorities this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it goes back to sort of that strategy, the evolution of strategy and competition in the space. I mean, one thing that certainly happened in the financial technology space is a proliferation of solutions, right? Somebody who's a buyer in our space for all of the different technologies they could own, there's probably 400 choices amongst 40 different categories. I mean, it's just ridiculously spread out and fractured. And, you know, and if really in our mind we're right that all the investment's been in the front office, you know, our goal is to create a back office ecosystem. So there are four pieces of technology that in our mind, every wealth management practice, whether it's a sole practitioner or has, you know, 15,000 financial advisors, everybody in that network, in that system is going to have sort of four technology relationships. They're going to use a CRM platform. They're going to use financial planning software. They're going to work with a trading partner. In our industry, they're called turnkey asset management platforms. They're the large providers that do trading and rebalancing and a lot of automation around the account itself. And then finally, everyone's got a custodian of the assets, right? Somebody who's actually placing the trade, holding the assets. So they've got all these relationships, but they don't integrate together. And their back office has likely got another, a few other pieces of technology that they're having to buy. Maybe they've got somebody, another piece of technology they're using to compensate financial advisors, or another piece of technology they're using to maintain all the regulatory licensing, and another piece of technology they're using for compliance, and another piece they're using for surveillance. And our goal is to bring all this back office technology together into an ecosystem that integrates with those four categories of technology that everybody needs to own. And this is part of the reason why we recently acquired a company called Giacomo, which provides advisor compensation and compliance solutions for the space that we're already in today. And so being partnered with that business allows us to create this ecosystem because we can control all of the technology and yet still offer it in a way that a client can, buy a single solution for us or buy this integrated whole. So that's one big piece of our strategy. The second one is, our business and our core market today has 60% market share, which is great. But it also makes the next components of growth in your core market a lot more difficult, right? Because the entire 40% of the remainder is probably not going to be accessible from a sales and servicing standpoint. So we're working on some new market entry, and the growing space in wealth management today is the registered investment advisor space. So we're working to provide some differentiated solutions in that community that we'll be launching here in October, which is pretty exciting. And then we're doing traditional product work. I mean, one of the things we're most excited about is building, artificial intelligence and robotic process automation more deeply into the platform than it is today. So some pretty exciting work going on there, and a bunch of other, sort of nerdy, exciting product things that we get excited about that are sort of all part of the priorities for the rest of 2021 and into 2022.
Well, congratulations. What an amazing job you and your team have done in building the business. What a fascinating part of the business. David, thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. What a pleasure to visit with you and hear what you're doing. Just amazing. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.